This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Weather State Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I should say hosts, but also realtors with Oakwind Realty in downtown Vancouver. Today, a fantastic show. We've got Calvin Hexter. He is a realtor, investor, and founder of Calvin Realty, EXP Realty, on the show today. He's a past guest.
He's a fan favorite.
He's a fan favorite.
He also is one of the few people I know that named his real estate company after his first name.
Loves his first name. Yeah, I know. It was an odd choice,
The Calvin Group.
Yeah. Well, that was like on
Calvin Realty.
On my hockey team, everybody used to call him by their last name. And for some reason, they just called me Adam.
Because you were their favorite.
Yeah.
It's like... Scully and Adam. And Adam.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They didn't actually call me anything. Here's the thing about, I'm not going to suggest that having an episode on investing in Alberta has anything to do with the timing of the new rental.
No. There's a bunch of new tenancy rules coming out. Yeah. This has nothing to do looking longingly at the Edmonton real estate market at all.
No. It's things have changed. This is actually just we have been getting. Obviously, there's a lot of excitement around Alberta real estate right now.
Right,
Calgary kind of leading the charge on that.
100%.
But, you know, still in Canada, if you went in Western Canada, if you're looking for the potential of cash flow, Edmonton as a market where, you know, there's good educational institutions, it's a fairly affordable city.
The provincial government.
There's a
lot of government there.
Yeah, a lot of government employees there. It's a stable market that kind of just ticks along, moderate growth, but, you know,
As Calvin talks about, a lot of immigration right now, as I feel like everywhere in Canada must just be feeling that, and still cash flow.
Yeah.
There's still cash flow.
Exciting things happening with the city in terms of infrastructure, LRT, lots of exciting things from that perspective. And when you actually, I mean, everything looks affordable when you're coming from Vancouver, but when you look at the price points of what you can buy versus what they'll rent for, it's quite enticing.
Absolutely. And there's options like seller financing. It's funny. I think Calvin says, oh, talk to the Scalina brothers about seller financing. Don't necessarily do that.
Don't do that.
Because it doesn't really exist here. He said it doesn't exist in bigger cities. You should talk to the Scalinas. I was like, nah.
I felt like we were talking to someone from bigger pockets or like from the US.
He's yeah.
like, and then you flip a 54, whatever, like some kind of tax code that like just, none of it exists.
I know, none of it exists. None of it exists.
But then it is one of those situations where, I mean, we have been talking a little bit on our commercial sister show about options for, you know, vendor financing and that sort of thing. You know, there are options in this market that present themselves, but it's kind of like subject to sale, which doesn't happen very often in Vancouver as well, right? Where it would be more common in other markets.
For sale by owners. I feel like there's all these things that just don't seem to really, you see them, but not very often.
So, not at the same scale.
Yeah, there seems to be opportunities in Edmonton. That is for sure. And Calvin's going to unpack them on the show today. So stay tuned for that. But before we get to that, Adam, we have the MLA Newswire weekly headline, a pre-sale update brought to you by the MLA Canada Advisory Team.
Yes.
This one's interesting. The headline, I'm going to read the headline sure. And then you can start the unpacking. More city amenities coming, but at what cost? Provincial government introduces amenity cost charges or ACCs.
Yeah, a little background on, first of all, on DCCs and CACs. So,
well, this is all, I feel like, it's like the acronyms bound here, right? We got DCCs,
yeah.
CACs, so, now ACCs.
Okay, so development cost charges are basically fixed rates payable by new developments early in the approval process. These typically fund a lot of the infrastructure necessary to maintain existing services. So think about like water, sewer, transportation, parks, and especially as a population is growing in a specific location.
I was going to say that's part of the challenge always when new communities are being built. There's just not the infrastructure there. So that's extracted from the developer in order to build out that infrastructure.
Exactly. And then what we've talked about a ton on our show, which can often stall projects, are CACs, or what's called community amenity contributions. These are usually delivered in the form of a physical amenity or cash contribution. So think about like a childcare facility, a community center, a park. This would be something that the developer would provide as a contribution of amenity space for the city or that specific location typically.
And that's usually, so the community amenity contribution or CAC is usually when there's a rezoning, an increase in FSR asked for, and then the city comes back and says, okay, we can give that to you, but here's what we need from you. And it's all negotiable. Tom Davidoff famously has said multiple times on the show how this system is opaque, stalls projects because it's unclear what you actually have to deliver in order to get a project built.
No, that was a famous thing he said on this show.
It was famous.
We've heard from a lot of people about it.
But so wait, what is ACC? Why are there, it seems like there's enough acronyms here.
Well, so here's the thing is now that we've seen so many legislative changes to the zoning and we see a lot of the areas are now pre-zoned or pre-up-zoned, right? Now they're coming out, the provinces come out with amenity cost charges, okay, which in many ways are going to replace CACs. So the ACCs, amenity cost charges, are fixed upfront charges that can no longer be negotiated the same way that CACs could.
This actually seems like, I bet if channeling Tom, like kind of a good thing, because at least there's some transparency, you know what's coming.
So here's the rub.
Oh, okay.
So Burnaby has been doing a lot more ACCs.
As an example.
As an example. It looks like it's going to cost about an extra $40,000 per unit. Okay.
For the ACC.
This is for the ACC. So think about that. Like just over the span of like, put a 300 unit building, which is not uncommon to see in say Brentwood or Metro Town.
Right.
This is going to add $11.5 million to the development cost, which is staggering.
Like break that down on a unit by unit basis.
Okay. So say you had like a unit that was $678,000. That unit now is $717,000
for like a one bed. And that's like the cost of building a one bed in Burnaby right now.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the thing is really when you pull back and you look at how much it's going to cost to actually build these buildings and who's that cost going to be transferred to?
Well, this is the thing, right? Like here's the other thing, purpose-built rental, same thing. You have to pay these ACCs. Apparently, at the charges currently in Burnaby, that's $130 more per month in rent required to make these buildings pencil.
Yeah.
So it's just transferred on.
It's terrifying how expensive it's going to be to build here, especially, I mean, it's the point of this really, and to go back to the headline, but more city amenities, but at what cost? I think the idea is that if we continue to raise costs, it's going to be more challenging to build. We need housing. I get that we need to be an amenity rich city, and we need these amenities. But at the same time, we also need people to build. So it's a challenge.
Yeah, it's just another barrier to affordable housing in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
if you like that, and I do like that, I feel like these are real value adds that MLA is providing. Subscribe to the MLA Newswire, a daily email roundup of the latest real estate news and market insights. Visit MLAcanada.com to subscribe now.
Matt, we are also sponsored by Scalina Real Estate, which is our real estate team in Vancouver. And today we've got a fantastic listing. It's just been launched.
Hot new listing.
On VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. This is a 1+ den at Espana, which I'm going to make the argument is the best ran complex that allows for short-term rentals in all of downtown Vancouver.
And I'm going to make the argument, I think you're right, that Kiefer Place is a confusing name
over Kiefer Street.
Exactly. Okay. As a roundabout there. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, anyway, it overlooks the cul-de-sac. I call it a cul-de-sac.
Right,
it's cul-de-sac. But here's the thing. If you want to see it, like a building that has kind of really hotel-like amenities, I was in the amenities the other day,
like off
amazing
the
pool, amazing hot tub, steam sauna,
good energy too. I was in that pool area not long ago too, and I was like, man, this feels fun.
Yeah, it was just you. You were just laughing. You were trying to do handstands by yourself.
I was like, this is so fun.
It's great energy in here. Also, though, here's the thing.
Adam, look.
Yeah, I wasn't there. But here's the thing: the rooftop garden. You walk up the flight of stairs, you've got the SkyTrain station.
Yeah.
Michelin star restaurants, everything.
Across
all
from
right there.
Rogers Arena, walking distance to Gastown.
Easy place.
I mean, it really is the center of everything, honestly. Like,
it's a good spot.
And it's a good building.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well run building.
Perfect place to call home. One bedroom plus large den.
So is it got mountain views? Let's talk. Tell me more about this.
So it's north facing. You get mountain views. You get a great view of Harbor Center. Really nice city views. But yeah. Like,
you're not dealing with the SkyTrain when you look north too.
No, exactly.
Quiet side of the building.
Yeah, Matt. And if you want to check it out, it's 905-188 Kiefer Place. Place is important because there's a 188 Kiefer Street. So check that out on our website, Scalina Real Estate, or at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, where we feature all of our listings. And while you're there, Matt.
Yeah, and while you're there, click sell with us. You get immediately a downloadable document. You might have heard of it. It's called the Sold Plan. It's the most downloaded document we've ever produced.
Exactly. And this is the thing about the Sold Plan. It stands for Start on Launch Date. It gives you, you pick your launch date. It gives you step-by-step instructions on how to get your home ready for market. It's a free download. Everybody should have it. It's evergreen. It's going to be useful whether you're listing today or you're listing in a few years. It'll be good to have it on file. Download it. Instant download at our website. And if you're from the industry, feel free to download it as well.
It's instant. That's the best part. But Adam, maybe we should cut to our talk with investment-focused realtor. And Calvin, I mean, tons of pocket listings too. We're on a list where we see listings off MLS in Edmonton all the time. Fantastic resource. Calvin Hexter, realtor, investor at Calvin Realty EXP.
Yeah, always love chatting with Calvin. This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Berquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds. Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
Okay, so we're here with Calvin Hexter, realtor, investor, and founder of Calvin Realty, EXP Realty. How you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Very, very well. Yeah, thanks for your time, Calvin. We should say past guest fan favorite. This is, I think, your second time on the program. Representing, what is it, YVG? No. YWG. YWG?
Very close. YEG. Yeah, very close. Yeah.
YEG. Okay.
The small smoke. Yeah. It's a and just for everybody listening, you're in Edmonton. We are now coming up on the spring market. What's the weather like right now in Edmonton?
20 degrees with snow on the ground.
Seriously?
Yeah, 20 wow. degrees with snow on the ground. I kid you not. There's some days we'll see 25 degree fluctuations between the morning, afternoon, evening. Yeah.
But that's not that's specific to this year, or is that the normal April?
That's like everything. Like Alberta, you have to have like, you need to have like a light sweater and then like a heavy jacket just to survive spring because the fluctuations in weather is just crazy. But yeah, we're seeing some good weather now. Next week's even looking hot too. And I know when we talk about weather, you know, some people that are listening in might be like, why the hell are you talking about weather? You know, why does it matter? You know, I'm not going to come try. Maybe I'll come to Westminster Mall. Maybe you won't, whatever. Buyer activity. I mean, transactions and volume of transactions is hinged on weather. And so that's why I love talking about the weather, because it actually has a relation to real estate as well. But we're seeing pretty good. So if you guys want to come down, you know, grass is just starting to get green. So
nice. So maybe Calvin, just to kind of open things up for people that didn't hear the last episode, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. So I run an investment focused team out of Edmonton, and we work with investors of all different shapes and sizes, working with clients that have, you know, short-term goals of fix and flip, long-term goals of buy and hold, whether it's turnkey, the BRRRR strategy, or multifamily. And we do quite a bit of seller financing as well. And there's actually a really interesting deal structure that we did in December with seller financing and another lady's portfolio actually out of Vancouver, which made it a huge win-win for both parties. But we do a little bit of everything. I know seller financing isn't as common in some of the bigger cities, especially those that tend to be more on the seller market as opposed to the buyer market. But we use that as an opportunity for like lower cash down, opportunities to get into properties without, you know, with investors that don't have the capacity to get a mortgage. So do a lot of fun, creative stuff. We also host a lot of big events too, which is great. So if anybody's ever looking at, you know, exploring the Edmonton market, we got some cool investor events that we like to do out here too. So yeah, we're so fun. I mean, we love what we do.
Are those events always in person? Do you do them over Zoom? Like there's two different versions of the event.
We have an online workshop that runs every 2 weeks, and I usually have a professional partner that joins me. And the online ones are an hour and a half. And one of them would be like a focus on fix and flips in the area, BRRRRs in the area, turnkey, and then multifamily or seller financing. And we go on a rotation. So you rotate through all the subjects and it ends up at fix and flips again. We have that running. The next one is April 11th. And so all of our clients that are out of province or just, you know, like the comfort of sitting on their couch, they can be a part of it, which is great. One of the biggest events actually we're running is it's called Recon, and it's a 2-day investor event. Matt, Adam, I might even pay for you. I mean, I shouldn't say it out loud. Would love to have you guys down.
Nope, put it online.
Take care of your plane ticket. I'm going to speak it so it's real. But yeah, the middle of June, we're hosting a 2-day investor event. Absolutely. If we get enough votes, how about if we can exceed a certain amount of likes on this episode, I'll pay for Matt and Adam to come down to our 2-day real estate investing event, Recon. But we're going to be touching on like everything. We have like an amazing keynote. We have people speaking on investment real estate, those that are actually taking action. And so if for those of you that have been to like the RAIN events back in the day, the RAIN Acre events, they used to be all over Canada, it is going to be a similar size. We're expecting about 400 attendees over the course of the 2 days.
Very nice.
Which would be really, really good.
That's super exciting. So maybe just as a launching point into, you know, I feel like we hear a lot about Calgary right now.
And Alberta more generally,
it seems to be kind of operating in its own ecosystem right now. Can you talk a little bit about like the Edmonton market right now? Like how's the market in general?
Yeah. So, I mean, Calgary is definitely one of the hottest. It seems to be one of the hottest markets in Canada right now, just with the amount of migration that's coming specifically into it. So their market has just completely taken off, you know, similar to how we've seen some major appreciation in like, you know, the spurts that we've seen in Vancouver, Toronto, Ottawa. Calgary's been seeing a huge jump. Edmonton, not so much. So we tend to be like the cooling collective. So you don't have to worry about buying a property here, you know, the market tanking or contracting. And then now the value of your home's 50K less. We're very like consistent. So if you were to purchase a home, say 5 years ago, you might see like a 5% increase, but you're not going to be seeing typically major fluctuations. The Edmonton market right now, we're seeing, you know, as typical timeframe, we'll see more inventory start to hit the market now. We were definitely battling with a lack of inventory early on in the year. So that's why our off-market database was huge, just off-market database of properties that we'd be providing clients to be able to help with that that challenge. Now we're seeing more properties hit the market. Pricing, last time I saw it, we went up by actually, I think for single family, 5.4% from the previous month.
And oh, wow.
Townhouses are taking, they're kicking ass. I mean, it's a good jump, but it's not in comparison again to like what you'd be seeing in like Calgary. You know, you take Edmonton's issues and you blow it up by 10 times. And that's kind of what Calgary is dealing with right now. Whether it's like lack of inventory, available rentals right now, lots of things. I mean, one thing that I can't speak on is the rental market right now is probably one of the best I've seen in a really long time. I think we've jumped up in a lot of our rentals by like 20% in what you could charge. And it's nice because as interest rates were going up, you know, a lot of these landlords got into a losing state because now their cash flowing asset was now neutral or negative. And now with finally these rents, which always takes longer to bring up, as of January, we've been seeing some really good rental prices. So most of the landlords right now, if you're on a month-to-month, and I hope tenants are going to listen to this podcast as well. If you're in the area, don't let your landlord lock you in at a higher rate. Stay month-to-month because most of the landlords right now are going to be trying to lock in at that higher rate because it's so good. So I know a lot of the landlords are trying to lock in like 1 year, 2 year leases to keep, you know, ride this out as long as possible.
Very different landlord situation in Vancouver.
No
and,
kidding.
Calgary or in Edmonton. So just thinking about the vacancy rate then, I would imagine the vacancy rate is quite low because we've had you on before and I can't remember what, I thought it was around like 6 to 8% if I remember correctly.
I think that was right back when we were talking before. I think right now we're feathering around 3%.
Okay.
And then just remind too, like, you know, based on the categories of areas. So any city, as we know, has like an A, B, C, D area. That's kind of how we reference it for desirability. And we know that the A, B, C areas tend to occupy faster. Typically, they tend to have better, you know, lower vacancy. And so I think with any market, still, you know, pay attention to those areas because it'll dictate the tenant profile and the number of phone calls. For the most part, I haven't heard any landlords really being challenged with, you know, being able to fill any kind of vacancies. So that's been really, really good. It's just, we saw for migration, I think we've almost doubled our best year in 2023. I think we doubled 2014, very close to it anyways, for what our highest migration ever was. And so, I mean, we're seeing it. We're definitely seeing it big time. And a lot of the people that are coming into Alberta in general, I mean, for Edmonton specifically, I guess, you know, a lot of them are going into the rental market and not necessarily purchasing homes. And so they're also filling a lot of the vacancies as well. And there's that huge demand. So it's nice. It's really nice to see though. I mean, I wanted the landlords to start winning again. And when you saw the interest rates go up and a lot of them question their life decisions of, you know, should I have really bought this rental? It's nice to see them win again. And a lot of them converted to even Airbnb to be able to help mitigate any of the losses. But a lot of them are looking at converting it back now to long-term once that the rents have gone up. So yeah, it's been fun.
So Calvin, can we maybe unpack some of the strategies that you're implementing that don't are more challenging in our market or maybe don't the option doesn't really exist? But first of all, just for, we've talked a lot about the BRRRR strategy on our show, but can you unpack the BRRRR strategy and how you're using it in the market?
Yeah, of course. So the BRRRR strategy, if it's the first time you're hearing of it, it's simply an acronym for buy, renovate, rent, refinance, redo. Yeah. So it's essentially, it's like flipping a property, but instead of flipping it to, you know, instead of flipping it to someone else that's going to be purchasing it, you save on closing costs and you hold on to the property and there should be some equity built up in that. So you say you find a property, I'm just going to use numbers here. So you find a single family detached house for $280,000. And I know for most of you listening, it's like, what, $280,000? That's crazy. Real life, you can buy a house. Actually, you can buy a house here for $150,000. But say you buy it for $280,000, you renovate the main floor, you know, spice up the outside, you put a legal basement suite in, and now it's worth, say, $430,000. Effectively, you can take, you know, 80% the loan to value with most banks and maybe even generate a little bit of, you know, money back in your pocket. I mean, a lot of the individuals that are working with BRRRRs, a lot of them are so focused on the refinance and getting most of their money back, if not all of it back, that they forget about that they're going to be left with the property for the long term. So I really got to make sure that, you know, anybody that's listening, if you are looking at entertaining the BRRRR strategy, it's really a two-stage process where it does come down to the numbers, you know, and before you buy that property worth $280,000, always make sure that you reference the ARV of what that property could be in today's market, not in a previous market, not in future speculation, but in today's market. Make sure you have your numbers down because that's where most people go wrong. And with a BRRRR property, it's not what someone's willing to pay for the property. It's what an appraiser is willing to appraise the property at. So having comps is extremely important. If you're going through an expansion market, it can be a little bit more difficult as there's going to be some interpretation with it. But get your numbers down first. That's the biggest and most important thing. And that goes for any market that you're in. Second part is that you're going to be left with that property. Once you refinance it, that property is going to be yours. I mean, whether it's for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, make sure you like the property, you know, make sure it's not going to cause you any kind of issues. If it's a house, go 3 bedrooms up, go 2 bedrooms down, have a double garage. It gives you an opportunity to rent out the garage separate. Have an asset that you can work with, that you can be proud of. That's going to go ahead and A, first of all, give you the tenant profile you're happy with. The vacancy rates are good, but it's in a decent, you know, desirable area of the city. Because you can do a BRRRR in any area of the city on almost any property if the numbers make sense. But again, you got to look at that stage two, is you're going to be left at that property afterwards. So make sure you're proud of it.
And how about seller financing? How are you working with seller financing right now?
Seller financing has been fun. So we actually did a deal in December where I was working with an investor. And funny enough, they're both from Vancouver. The seller stays in Vancouver. She had a portfolio of 7 properties she sent to us, which we have in our off-market database, which I'll talk about afterwards. And everybody has access to our off-market database, by the way. So if you're listening in and you're like, I want to see what some of these off-market properties look like, you know, listen in a little bit longer and I'll give you that. I'll give you those details. It was 7 properties, and she didn't understand what seller financing was. Most people don't in the larger cities because it just seems like it's, you know, less entertained unless you're in the multifamily space where you might have more experience with it. And so we ended up having another buyer. He was from Vancouver, but actually moved to Edmonton permanently. And I connected the two of them. And with seller financing, he was able to purchase, he ended up buying 5 of her properties. 3 of them we put in a package deal for seller financing. So with seller financing, very simple. The only difference between seller financing and a conventional sale is that the seller, in many cases, like an agreement for sale specifically, the seller would maintain her name on or their name on the mortgage for a set period of time. So on possession date, or normally on a conventional sale, title is transferred. On a seller financing agreement for sale, title is not transferred. The seller remains on title. The buyer goes on title, usually as a caveat, expressing interest, so then the seller cannot sell the property. The advantages to it are huge. The seller, if they're deemed with any kind of mortgage penalties, they can be avoided by having the term of the agreement for sale run at the exact same time as the mortgage. So say like, say you guys ended up JVing on a property, you wanted to sell it, but you had 3 years left and you knew the penalty was like $16,000. You could offer seller financing where you could avoid paying out that $16,000 and maybe get more money for your pocket, more money for the property, because a buyer is, you're able to solve a buyer's problem. And a lot of these buyers that are looking for seller financing is they don't have as much money down. So in the way we structured the deal in December is he only put 10% down on these 3 properties. Now remind me, Adam, Matt, how much money you got to put down if you're going to buy an investment property that you're not moving into, not commercial?
20%.
20%. That's right. So if you don't have the capital and you want to be able to grow this portfolio, seller financing can be a really good option where you can put down, you know, and 10% is not the rule, by the way. I've seen people put down 5% or less, but it offers the buyer to put less money down, get more properties. They also get the mortgage pay down during that time as well. So in this case, we structured a 3-year deal. And so the buyer ended up getting a mortgage pay down over, is going to be getting a mortgage pay down over the next 3 years. They're going to get all the cash flow on the property because it's 2 suited duplexes and a townhouse that we structured in. He only put 10% down. So it also frees up more capital for him to buy other assets as well if he does have the capital available. And it's a win-win for both parties. So we've done some really interesting deals like that as well. So if you're listening and you're like, well, I don't have 20% to put down in, you know, Vancouver, but I also don't have 20% to put down in Edmonton, maybe look up seller financing on how it works. Have maybe one of the Scalina brothers walk you through it, analyze the deal to make sure that it makes sense. And it could be a really good fit for you. So you never have to use like, I don't have enough money to move forward with my goals. There's so many options out there that are tailored towards, you know, being able to make it happen. At the end of the day, the deal still needs to make sense. So don't have any oversight on the quality of deal because of what's being offered. The deal still has to make sense. The bonus is the seller financing, if that makes sense. So deal first, seller financing second.
And I'm thinking this specific case that you put together, this deal you put together in December, the seller is involved for how long, the rest of the mortgage term?
Well, in this case, we structured it right around the mortgage term because she was in a position where her penalty was going to be quite expensive on all three properties. So in this case, we structured the term to be at the exact same length of her mortgage renewal. Okay. I think it was December 2026 is when her mortgage renewals up. So it just made sense to structure it. So the only, so she's on title for that period of time as well. So the sales already happened. Like it's, you do a traditional purchase contract. The only difference is that you accompany it with a schedule, which is in this case, like an agreement for sale. And essentially on the, not to get into like the weeds, but essentially on the back end, what it would look like is the buyer puts money into an account every single month. And essentially that account is tied to all the expenses on the property. So for example, like the mortgage is still in the seller's name, the insurance is still in the seller's name. So she would have money being pulled out of this account. The buyer is responsible for putting money into the account and making sure that there's obviously no arrears. If there's any kind of like deficit in that account, then obviously there's a penalty to the buyer. But really importantly, you know, because we've done a lot of interesting deals before, is that it really comes down to the people that you're putting together. Because it's a longer term relationship, you want to make sure that that is a, it's a solid seller. They're good. You know, they're just good person. Buyer, same thing. Almost like a JV partnership. Because you put the two wrong people together, it could be an absolute disaster. Because I mean, you're essentially having this relationship with them for the course of 3 years. Imagine if you didn't like them and you're now bunked up with them. That sucks.
And just so to understand this deal, I just had a couple other questions. One is, so the buyer basically in 2026, in this case, is it would go and get their own financing. So conventional financing when the seller's term's up, correct?
That's right. So they have the ability in the agreement, and anybody that's ever interested in doing seller financing, like specifically for an agreement for sale, put in there that you have the ability to sell the house prior to. So right now, when he bought the property, and now what the value is worth, like the value is higher now than it was. So he could turn around and sell the property right now and make a profit. Not only for, I mean, a little bit of next to no mortgage pay down because it's only been a few months, but he could sell the property at any point within that period of time, as long as the new buyer would take on that agreement for sale. Because again, the intentions for the seller was to keep the property for that term because they didn't want to have that penalty. However, if there's a sale price that makes sense and they can, I mean, anything can happen during this stage. If the seller agrees, like, you know, and the say the buyer is like, I want to sell the property. I'm done. I need to sell it. The market's too good. I need to walk away. I want to reposition my funds into something else. He can talk to the seller and they can come up with an agreement. And that's an option as well. So they don't always need to close on the deal at the end of it. There's been many cases where fix and flippers, this is a cool little strategy. Imagine you guys getting into a property, putting like 5% down on an agreement for sale, and then flipping the property after the course of like 6 months, never needing a mortgage at all. That's a really popular technique too, if you can find a good deal for it.
Mm. Right. I'm just thinking, and in the last question about this December deal is with 10% down, it sounds like, is the buyer cash flow positive on that? Cash flow neutral? What does that look like with the seller financing?
Well, I mean, it doesn't change the amount of the mortgage, right? So that mortgage is the mortgage. So, and they're just covering all expenses on it. So it depends on what was the expenses going into it. So say that we were going to team you guys up, Adam, that you guys were going to look at purchasing a duplex here and it was seller financing. We would still look at the basics. We would do a pro forma. We'd see all the expenses on the property. And then we'd still look at the income like we would on any asset. And if the numbers made sense, there's no extra money that the buyer is paying to have this seller financing deal. He's essentially just consuming all expenses on the home, but also claiming all income. In this case, yes, he'd be cash flowing on both those properties as the property has been set up. Yes.
Nice. Calvin, a lot of people like that will be listening to our show won't necessarily know Edmonton. Can you maybe walk us through kind of some of the areas that you're kind of most excited about in Edmonton and maybe the tier one, tier two, tier three kind of plays?
Yeah. So one thing that you always want to look for anytime you're investing outside of your backyard is understanding what kind of infrastructure, you know, what is the population going to be looking like, right? You know, you want to be left with an asset that's probably worth more money or at least protected. So you're not seeing big fluctuations. You know, you wouldn't want to invest in Edmonton and then realize, you know, no one wants to come to Edmonton, and all of a sudden the population's dropping. So now your asset's worth less because less people want to move in that area. Anytime you're buying in a city, obviously understand like the major economics of that city. But outside of that, which we know migration's, you know, quite huge here, primarily from India too. Hey, I was looking at India number one, Philippines number two, and I think Ukraine number three, I think is the top three right now that we're seeing in Alberta or so, which was interesting enough. Yeah, I mean, I got to double check my resources, but I think that is, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, it seems very accurate. I would purchase near infrastructure that's being developed. The city has a lot of infrastructure plans right now, like transit. We have an old municipal airport, which is 560 acres that's getting converted over to like living space. And the areas that I would say are like, you know, to really keep your eyes on, West Edmonton is a really good. So most of you that have been to West Edmonton Mall, yes, it's in West Edmonton, hence the name. Right around anything in the West is getting the West Dye Line LRT. Pricing is still very affordable, but there's a lot of changes that are happening in West Edmonton, especially infill. There's a lot of redevelopment. So I would be keeping my attention there. If you're looking for cash flow, I'd focus in the north of Edmonton. And if you want to know, like pull up Edmonton on a map right now, and I could probably help you out while you're listening, anybody that's listening. So there's a river that divides the city. Anything north of the river is typically North Edmonton. West Edmonton is, you know, right around West Edmonton Mall, west of the River Valley. And then there's South Edmonton. So if you're looking for cash flow, go North Edmonton. If you're looking for better tenant profile, lower vacancy, and that's what is driving your investment, purchase in South Edmonton, West Edmonton for balance, North Edmonton for cash flow, South Edmonton for tenant profile vacancy. If you want the most simplistic idea of how the city works on investment real estate, that is the best macro description I can give you. Now, obviously, you're going to have certain pockets, but if you're looking for simplicity, that's what I would go, that's what I would be looking at.
Where, and proximity to the university?
That's South Edmonton. South, so that's Edmonton. Some of the most expensive real estate in the city is right around the university. Yeah.
So that would be low vacancy and
extremely
and good tenant
extremely
profile.
Low. Yeah. But I mean, that's considered like an A area. You can't cash flow in A areas unless right. You're renting out by the room. If you're doing student housing, you might be able to. Your best ability to cash flow in those areas is getting as many leases on a property as possible. And that goes in general anyways. If you want to have a better ability to cash flow, create more leases on a property, you're going to generate higher gross revenue and you're going to have a better ability to cash flow. That goes for anything, but you need that in the A areas. You need that in the B areas. C areas will typically even still cash flow right now, whether you don't have, you know, two leases are enough typically to cash flow in C areas. And then our D areas are like our expert investors that are like, I don't care where it is. I can make it work. I want to buy a property. You know, there's six plexes being sold for like $250,000 in the D areas. Six plexes, $250K. Crazy.
And you have management companies that will help with that? Expert management companies?
I love it. So you guys, this just shows how smart you guys are. Because that's exactly right. That is the biggest challenge, and is finding a management company that would be willing to take on a good management company that'd be willing to take it on. Non-existent. A new management company, you could probably get them to take it on, or a desperate management company, they would. But a lot of them wouldn't take on the D areas just due to the turnover and potential headaches. So I love that you guys brought it up. That's exactly correct. Yeah.
Hey everyone. Pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakwin Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakwin.com/join.
type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakwin, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakwin.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.
Just thinking, so we've kind of outlined the different areas of Edmonton and what they offer investors. Let's say with a budget of 500K and maybe a million, what would you like? Just if we'll give you that money, Calvin, you buy what you think's best as
start,
an investment.
Start 500.
Yeah. Asset class and or what type of property and where?
Okay. My first question I'd ask, and you guys are going to hate that I'm asking this, but I just have to. I need to know this before I can position you. So any investor that we're working with, they should always know in order what's the most important. Is it cash flow, tenant profile, vacancy, appreciation? If you can take those four variables, put them in order of most important to least important, I can position you in the location. But first of all, we go strategy area property. So for the sake of buy and hold, we're going to say buy and hold. Your goal is to just hold onto the property. So we know your strategy. Area, the only way I'm going to know your area that we can put you in is by putting those four variables in order. Most people are going to say cash flow first. So I'll just speak for you guys and we'll say cash flow. So for $500,000, if your main goal was say cash flow, but still wanted to have something, an area that's relatively balanced, I'd be looking at purchasing like a single family detached house that's legally suited with a double garage. I would rent out the main floor, rent out the basement, rent out the garage. Right now I'd be achieving about $3,300 in gross revenue on the most average asset that I'd be referencing like that. I'd be cash flowing with property management. You're probably going to be cash flowing. I wouldn't actually even purchase at $500,000. I'd be purchasing right around $430,000. There's certain assets you don't want to be spending more money on because at some point there's kind of like the diminishing returns that you'll end up seeing. So just because the asset's worth more, it doesn't mean that the rents are going to be synergistic to it. So I'd purchase right around 440. I would get you guys to save your extra 60,000 and I would buy a house, legally suited house with a garage. That's what I would do.
440 purchase price, 3,300 cash revenue coming in.
Yes, gross revenue. You'd be cash flowing after property management. Property management's about 10%. You'd be cash flowing right now to $300-ish, right around that. When we were talking before, last year, those numbers were doubled because the interest rates were obviously much less as well, right? So interest rates obviously are the, you know, that's what changes things, right? If we start seeing a drop in interest rates, and I'm optimistic that we will, that cash flow is just going to get boosted. So, I mean, most places don't cash flow at all right now. Most people are even just looking for neutral. You should still be in the positive anyways. And there's other ways that obviously you benefit from buy and hold other than cash flow, you know, but that's what I would do is I would get a house with a suite, and then I would have a garage. If I had $1 million to the position of your money, same goals, buy and hold, main drivers, cash flow, but you wanted to get tenant profile, I would purchase a suited duplex. Suited duplexes, you know, legally are going for about $700,000 or so. So I'd, again, help you save the extra money that you had. And that's what we'd purchase. Your cash flow would be about $600 to $700 a month on a property like that. When I was speaking to you guys last year, that asset, when our interest rates were closer to 2%, we're cash flowing about $1,200, between like $1,000 and $1,300, I think is what the average we were saying. So it can fluctuate quite a bit. I mean, interest rates can really kick your butt when it comes down to how much money's left over.
So Calvin, this is four units then, right? You have typically three bedrooms, or you have two upstairs units that are typically two or three bedrooms, and then you have two lower basement suites, right? Which would be, or lower level suites, which would be like maybe one or two bedrooms. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, most duplexes are going to offer you two bedrooms up and then one or two bedrooms down. But if you can find a duplex that has three bedrooms up and two bedrooms down, knowing that every single extra bedroom can increase your rent by $100 to $150, that's quite a bit. So if you can find the assets that have the extra bedrooms, it will boost your potential for rental prices as well. And we've noticed too, the extra bedrooms actually help with lower vacancy. So if you want your unit to stand out amongst the rest, especially if you're in like a rental area, there just seems to be more rentals than primary home, then having the extra bedrooms will definitely make your property stand out amongst the rest too. So, but yeah, it's exactly that. You have two main floor, you have two basement, and then if you have a garage on top of it, you can rent out your garage.
So we've talked 500K, we've talked a million. It turns out we didn't need that much money in either case, which is good. Good news. What about if somebody wants to take like a more of a multifamily swing? Like what are you guys, are you finding that there's opportunities in like small apartment buildings?
Yeah. I mean, we just had an 18 unit building tied up. We had it tied up at 105 a door and it was a court foreclosure. So the other agent on the other end was actually coaching us through how to work with, you know, work with this party. And, it looks like we could have got it at $95 a door. However, the property needed too much work. And so the buyer ended up killing the deal actually this morning. But I mean, in the D areas, you can find, you know, 105 a door. C areas, about 110, 115 a door. So there can definitely be some good opportunities there. And you can still do the BRRRR strategy on these multi-units as well. Some people have the finances to put the money in to do the renovations. Obviously, the cost is a lot more, you know, depending on how many units you're purchasing. But yeah, the multifamily space, especially because it seems like a lot of the coaches are pushing multifamily, or, you know, it's kind of like the sexy word out there. Off-market multifamily and seller financing, I would say, seem to be like the key words that really get people's attention, really get their ears perked up. So if anything, just people got to do more, you know, learning before they get into it. But yeah, I mean, the multifamily space can be really good too, but just know what you're getting into. Know the area is not going to change as much as you look, change the location, as much as you change the property. So,
what are the biggest challenges right now that face real estate investors in Edmonton?
Lack of inventory, for sure. Yeah, lack of inventory has been the biggest challenge right now. Where if an investor is looking for something very, very specific, it may not be there. So before the call, I told you guys that, you know, last time we were talking, and Matt, Adam, how long have we had you guys on our investor list for? So we'll hand select investor deals, you know, a range of investor deals, off market, on market, fix and flip, buy and holds, seller financing, multifamily. You guys have been on for a while, I think.
Yeah, I think 2 years? 2017, maybe.
I was going to say a couple of years.
I've been probably 5 or 6 years.
Couple years.
Yeah.
It's a long, long time. So we've actually upped our game. So we still have that email database because we want to make sure that we have as much inventory as we can all the time. You know, we want to be that shopping store that always has everything. But then you want to come to us as opposed to these grocery stores that have next to nothing, right? You go for kiwis, you want to find kiwis. So we always have kiwis, or try to at least. So we have this database, and this off-market database and on-market database, we hand select these deals that look good on all these different, you know, different goals. And we've actually created an investor deal page. So, you know, Auto Trader, you guys have been on Auto Trader before. You right. Look for vehicles, you probably look at like Facebook, Kijiji, Auto Trader. That seems to be the big three here anyways. We're creating like the Auto Trader of investment deals. So it's our website, calvinrealty.ca/investdeals. And you can go there and you can select, I want buy and holds. And then it'll show you all the buy and holds, both on market and off market. But we're in the beginning stages of going through and making it more of like the Auto Trader, where it can be like, I'm looking for a single family detached off market with a legal suite within this price range. It'll show you all the options that we've hand selected, both on market and off market, to give you a better ability to find what you're looking for. And again, we can do all the searching for you. Our job is to just make it a lot easier, right? Kind of like a car dealer. Instead of you having to go through and like scan all these lots, have to go to these auctions to find a property, we're going to gather all the good ones, put them on this database. You guys can make your decision from there. And if you want more information, we're happy to provide it. So that's my 2.0 version of it. Kind of neat, hey?
Yeah. You know, the question I have is, it's interesting how you have so many off-market deals. Like how does that, like here, it seems like more, you know, any sellers saying, why wouldn't I get the maximum exposure possible on MLS? Like what's the difference there? That's kind of a question that jumps out at me. Like, how do you have so many pocket listings?
So a couple of different reasons. We'll have some of our sellers that don't want to spook their tenants. So these are one-off. I'll probably say one every month and a half. We'll have a seller that's like, I don't want to spook the tenants, keep it off market. I don't want a lawn sign up. Just, you know, use your database, right. Use your investor database, which we have over 1,000, I think, in our investor database now across Canada. So they're like, use your database. I don't want it to be seen. The reason why sellers historically will use off market as the only option and not on market, one of the three reasons. First reason is they don't want to pay realtor commissions. Okay. Second reason is they don't want random people coming to their house that they don't have control of. They just want qualified buyers or a simple cash deal, or they're embarrassed for their home and it's not in any position to list. some of your neighbors that look like they have, you know, they have brand new cars and a beautiful outside, you never know what's inside. I've seen two hoarding houses recently, brand new Fords, outside looked immaculate, probably one of the best cleaned up houses in the block. Inside, absolutely gross, disgusting, not habitable. So, you know, a seller that needs to sell that is not, you know, without a property like that, with a property that's you know, we'll just say disgusting, they're not going to go on the MLS in most cases. They're embarrassed. So who are they going to call? They're going to call these bandit signs that are on the side of the road that say, we buy houses cash and fast, because it's creating a solution for them. And whether it's no realtor commissions, whether it's having, you know, a higher quality buyer that comes through, or just not being embarrassed of their home, there's many different reasons of why, you know, they would be looking for a wholesaler in this case, or someone to help them off market. But for us, we are well connected with all the wholesalers in the area, and we work with them because it's a win-win. And that also helps us generate a large database of properties for our buyers. So it doesn't really make it fair competition when we're working against other realtors, because they don't have these options like we have. So we can provide more, again, more of a, you know, we just have more inventory. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have more inventory than the average person.
Fantastic. Well, maybe we'll leave it there, Calvin. Actually, before we leave it there, Calvin, I had one more question for you. I just wanted to make sure I understood this correctly. Did you say the market was up 5.4% month over month, or was it year over year?
Year over year, from February to last February, again, because the March stats haven't been out yet. March stats have not been out yet because they get published 5 business days within April. Right. These would be February stats. We've gone up 5.4% from January to February. We're up 10% from last year.
Wow. So you're seeing, like, it seems exceptional for Edmonton, that 5% bump in a month.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely is. I mean, do we think we're going to continue to see the same increase? Not really. There's also, I mean, there's honestly two reasons why we're seeing that increase, in my opinion. I mean, obviously the migration's helping. Two reasons. Remember last year in like quarter three, interest rates started going up and up and up, and no one wanted to be on that roller coaster ride. So a lot of the buyers that were ready to purchase benched themselves because they didn't want to take that ride. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up waiting until there was more optimism in the market. Optimism in the market started in December, January.
What was your low point? November, would you say?
Low point in the sense of like transactions? Like
in basically sales
in volume. General. Yeah, I would say like October, if I remember correctly, you know, October, November, December, you know, it was starting to slow down. People are wondering, even the experienced realtors that have been doing it for like 25 years are like, you know, what's going on? Should I be concerned right now? That was kind of like the word on the street. You know, when these experienced realtors are calling these other experienced realtors like, hey man, are you busy? You know, something's up. And that was happening in the last quarter. And then as of this year, all the buyers that were ready to purchase last year now joined all the buyers that were already ready to purchase this year because of greater optimism. And, you know, there's not just this abundance of inventory that's now made available. Even if there was the same amount of inventory, that's a lot more buyers consuming properties, which is why we have more multiple offers now. You know, being creative upon your purchase, you can't do what everybody else is doing or else you're going to get the same results. Actually, one thing that's been working really well, purchasing properties that are right before their expiry date with their realtor. You're going to find a much more motivated realtor on the seller side to work with you, and you might find a more motivated seller. One thing I've learned over the last like 3 years especially, a lot of sellers are willing to sell their property a lot less, but are not always willing to have it represented as a list price. So like I had a couple sellers, even in the last couple months, were like, I don't want to have a drop in list price, but I'm willing to accept a lot less. Just give me an offer. So what we've been doing with our buyers, put offers in on properties that are 30, 60, 90 days on the market that have been almost forgotten about at a price that you think. We've been getting properties sold at 83% of list price. So if anybody wants to do their math, I mean, list price is arbitrary because it's whatever perceived value the realtor and the seller feel like it is, but 83% of list price. So if you're seeing properties at 400,000, Adam, Matt, who's better at math between you guys?
Adam.
Adam, okay, you ready? $400,000. 83% of list price. What is that? What's the purchase price?
Hang on. I can't get my phone.
Wait, get your mental math. Get your mental math going. That's a 17% decline.
83%?
Yeah, 83% of
it starts with a 3, Adam.
332,000.
Yeah.
Is that right?
So if you're seeing a property at That seems very
wow.
Right.
That seems I had to very do my, cheap. I was
huge. Isn't that huge? Like that is. We had three purchases in the last 2 months at 83 or already 84% list price. One was 84, the other two are 83. And a big shout out to Kiefer on my team. His first deal he got at 83% of list price as well.
Amazing. That's a huge spread. That's incredible.
Yeah. So I mean, the biggest thing that I can tell people, if you're tired of going in multiple offers, if you're tired of getting the same result, don't do what everybody else is doing. You're going to get the same freaking result. You're not special like everybody else. You have to do something different. Your playbook needs to be different based on the market that you're in. Just like if you're playing a different team, your playbook needs to fit the team you're playing. And if it doesn't, you're going to get a shit result. You might get lucky, but you're probably not going to get a great result. So you got to do what other people are not doing and you got to be creative. And that's a really good technique that's working exceptionally well. How happy do you think these buyers are when they got their... They felt like, Calvin, there's no point. You know, it's never going to happen. Come on, we're just wasting your time. They get it accepted, signed back. How excited do you think they were?
I careful, Calvin. You're going to have to get everybody 83% of...
I know. It doesn't happen all the time.
Past but, you
know,
results don't guarantee future. Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't. It's just a strategy. It's a strategy that you could use. Yeah.
Very, very smart. Yeah. Calvin, we have this segment, the Five Wire, five lighthearted questions that we end every show with. Can you stick around for that?
Sure.
The Five Wire is brought to you by Scalina Real Estate. Hey, that sounds familiar. Scalina Real Estate is a full-service real estate company serving Vancouver, offering comprehensive, tried and tested buyer and seller systems.
With over a decade in the top 10% of realtors in the Lower Mainland and a perfect 5-star Google review, Scalina Real Estate can help with all your real estate needs.
We also have an extensive network of the best industry professionals and trades right across the country.
There's no reason to not get in touch. Head over to scalinarealestate.com to find out more.
One book that you've recently read that you would recommend for our listeners?
We're going to say What's in It for Me by Joe Polish. Excellent book all around. I think with any business and dealing with people, it's something that you should be reading.
Joe Polish, there's another email list I've been on for about, well, his probably more than like 12, 13 years, I think. So that's a great one.
He says that people talk to him as being the most connected man in the world.
Wow. Interesting.
I remember your answer for number two in the last few years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life? And it had to do with getting your car washed, which I think was a service that is, it sounded fantastic, but it seemed Edmonton specific. Because I don't think there was anything like that here. So I'm going to call an audible here and say, what round do you think the Oilers go out in this playoffs?
To all the Edmontonians listening, we're going all the way. Insert horn now. James, insert horn.
Yeah. Question number three. What have you been binge watching lately or a favorite movie recommendation?
Ooh, that's a favorite movie, Dune 2, fantastic.
Oh, I've heard good things.
Dune 2 is so good. Yeah. Exceptional. Wow.
Timely.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Favorite band or music?
We're going to go, you know what? I've been taking it back old school.
I remember your answer last time too. I think you just saw GNR or something last time we talked to you. Wasn't it?
I did see GNR last time as well. Yeah. I'll go through phases of like old school, semi-old school, then new school. And right now it's like 90s rock, like White Zombie, Korn, Limp Bizkit. Yeah. That's the vibe right now.
That's interesting. That feels to me like
90s is back. Well, that's for sure.
Every time I go on Instagram, I'm like, there's always stuff about Limp Bizkit. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. Might just be my algorithm. No, it's not. It's not. It's something's back in the 90s. Something you've purchased. This is the last but not least question. Something you have purchased for under 50. I don't know why, Matt. Something tickled Matt Pink here. Something you've purchased for under $1,500 that's changed your life in the last few years or at least had a positive impact?
I'm going to say, if you don't have a massive monitor, have a massive monitor. And if you can find under $1,500, do it. I used to work off my laptop only. And then I have this gaming monitor now that's like 42 inches wide. So it like essentially wraps my body and it has been an absolute game changer. I can put four full screens on there. And I think I got under $1,500. If you're using your laptop, don't have a big monitor, change the monitor. Your life will change and productivity will change for you.
Is it curved? Is this like, because I,
yes.
Yeah.
It is curved.
Okay. I saw one of these the other day. Looks great.
We all use mission controls, we call them at work, but that's only two screens.
Well, we have two screens, but you can drag and drop. But now they've got one screen that does the job of two, I think.
And it sounds like four screens.
One screen that does four. Yeah. You can do, there's like essentially four screens on there. It's incredible. Yeah. It is such a game changer. Actually, Selling Beverly Hills, the agency. Have you guys watched that? It's on Netflix now.
No.
I can't remember the owner of the agency, but they have, you know, it's like Selling Sunset. You guys have heard Selling Sunset. So now they're right. Selling Beverly Hills, and it's all about the agency, which is a brokerage that I think you guys have in your area.
Yeah.
Anyways, the owner has the same screen as me. I was like, hey, that's it. Anyways. So if you guys want to see what it looks like, watch the show. There you go. There's a plug for the show. I'm not on it. I have no investment in it, but there it is.
I'll ask you for the link. I refuse to watch that show though.
That's fair.
Calvin, how can people find out more about what you're up to?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of everywhere, whether it's our website, you want to check out the invest deals or social media, we're literally everywhere. Always happy to answer any kind of questions. And I mean, if you guys enjoyed listening to the podcast, give the brothers a thumbs up, give me a thumbs up. It really helps too, you know, appreciate it. So yeah,
that's the only way we're going to get our flight to Edmonton.
So no kidding. Sure, oh yeah. I forgot about this.
Yeah, that's right. I think if we can do, I don't even know what your average is. I know you guys get a lot of likes. I know that your podcast, I think, is one of the top like across Canada for real estate. So I can't even imagine how many likes we'd have to get to make it. I don't know. We'll say 200 or more, then we'll do it. So yeah.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time today, Calvin. Always a pleasure having you on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
So there you have it, folks. Our discussion with Calvin Hexter, realtor investor from Calvin Realty, EXP in Edmonton.
Always enjoy having Calvin on the program. Great energy, Calvin.
Wait, what did he say about us? I was thinking this is something that it's a generational thing to say, or at least I don't say it, but I'm going to start. Good vibes, did he say?
Said you guys have, I think it was elder vibes. Elderly vibes.
He said something about vibes. Where I was like,
boomer
vibes. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We do have good vibes. But it wasn't even good vibes. It was like,
well,
vibes.
This is the problem.
Or vibing, this, maybe?
You're suggesting your age because when you say vibes, you do it in like a 60s hippie. You're like, vibes, man, vibes. But that's a thing that everyone says though now.
Yeah.
Generally like, I like your vibes, just in a normal voice. Acceptable.
Wait, yeah, I don't know if I could pull that off.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was great having Calvin. I like his vibes.
Yeah, he didn't pull it off. Calvin's offended. Here's the thing, Matt. If you are interested, if you want to reach out and chat about your investment opportunities in BC, because there's lots of markets that we can talk about in BC, not only the Lower Mainland, and compare them to a conversation with Calvin about your investment opportunities in Alberta, that is a call that either of us would be happy to jump on just to think about, because there are some differences between these two markets.
Mm-hmm.
Edmonton, Alberta, although Calgary's on a bit of a run right now, but Edmonton is typically a slow, moderate market in terms of capital appreciation, but the rents are pretty good. The vacancy is a little bit higher than here. Here, the vacancy is extremely low. It is always low. We see a lot of upward pressure on rents. The prices are high, but you typically see pretty significant increases.
I was going to say, if you look at the last 10 years, I think the appreciation would be is wildly different.
Well, although in the lower mainland, the prices have doubled in the past 10 years.
He did say 5% month over month, which was shocking.
I think what he was getting at is that was like a lag that was basically just disappeared almost immediately, right? There was a moment there. And he did say
unsustainable or something like that.
But we've seen that in our market. Like I feel, you know, all this, like the false starts we've had over the last like, call it 24 months, where you see there's these moments of like, wow, that's a good
deal.
It's
like waves. And then comes in waves.
Yeah, but those waves fill those, like, you know, it's like, oh, someone got a 5% discount. Oh, now that discount is gone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're kind of seeing that in our market as well, but it's almost like dips level, slight elevation level. Like it's there's still buying opportunities because of that, but that's not sustainable growth, right?
That sounded wild to me, considering Edmonton's trajectory over the last 30 years.
Right.
In terms of pricing.
I think what we're going to have to do is get somebody from Calgary to come on and talk, because, you know, my thinking is, those markets to me are quite different.
Mm-hmm.
And the cities are very different. I think
wildly
of
different,
yeah. Wildly different cities. So I feel like there'll be people that are, you know, that took a lot from that show and are interested in Edmonton. But I also feel like it's hard to talk about Alberta as a whole. And it might make sense to bring somebody on to talk about Calgary specifically.
Let's do it. We'll do that. That's look for that coming up. We don't know exactly when or with exactly who, but we'll make it happen for sure. What else do we have before we cut for the day, Adam? We have VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com for all things, including the blog post about all the things Calvin outline today. That's in the works. We do that for all episodes. We also have the Livewire. This is our weekly mailer. There's no reason why you don't want to be on there. You get deal of the month. You get VIP access to pre-sales. You get stats, different type of stats. The March stats were sent out yesterday, along with the breakdown in each sub area, which is very important right now because the overarching stats don't necessarily tell the story in your neighborhood. We also have, of course, if you want to focus on a neighborhood, private client services.
Yeah, Matt. And if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Just click buy with us. We can set you up a free account. There's no reason why people shouldn't be using PCS to monitor the market right now. And of course, this is a free service that we offer people, listeners, and people that are part of the VREP community. So definitely get on that. And while you're there, Matt, like you said, check out the blog post. Feel free to get in touch if you want to have a conversation about anything investment real estate related or just real estate in general. And yeah, we're in the spring market. So if you're thinking of selling, get in touch as well. And Matt, how can people get in touch with you?
You can try me at any time, 778-847-2854 or matt@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Of course, we got that Kokomo line, info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Well, have a great week. And just a side note, Jaden Lee, record-breaking price on a single family row house, basically.
Is that right?
Yesterday. Chilliwack.
You know what?
I feel like I wish I had a time machine to 3 months ago.
When we had him on the show.
That market's performing.
Yeah, apparently some people have reached out to him too and hopefully have already taken advantage of the surge in prices there.
Yeah, exactly. Have a good week.
Take care.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.